Good evening and welcome to Take Aim. My name is Denny Wilson and I'm the preacher for the Parkview Church of Christ in Odessa, Texas. If you happen to be coming through our area or if you're moving to our area and you're looking for a church home, we'd love to help you. We'd love to meet you, worship with you, and serve God together. We're glad that you're here tonight. We're going to be studying a new subject matter for a few weeks. We're going to be studying the book of Philippians. Get your Bible ready, take out your notebook and your pencil, and follow along. I know you'll be edified.
Philippians 1, verse 22 through 26. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose I cannot tell, for I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to part and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of the faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. All right, let's break this section down verse by verse. Let's start in verse 22, where he says, but if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor, yet what I shall choose I cannot say. He gives us another reason for life. You remember he said, life to me is Christ. He said, death to me is gain. And now he gives us another reason for life. That reason for life is that he can labor for the Lord. He can be fruitful. He can continue to work. And that ought to be our focus in life. I can make a difference in this world. I can impact the world for Christ. I can let my light shine. I can use it to bring glory and honor to God and others to Christ. I can make a difference. That's his focus. It was an opportunity for him to spread that gospel. He had told them about it 5 years earlier. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. That is all men in all the world. When he wrote the book of Galatians in chapter 3, verse 26 and following, he said, we are all sons of God, and we can all become sons of God through faith. As many as have put on Christ in baptism are now part of the kingdom. They're heirs according to the promise of Abraham. We're all one. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither male nor female. There's neither bond nor free. In other words, no matter what place we are in this world, no matter where we live, no matter what our language is, no matter how much money we have, no matter what our education level is, no matter what job we have, no matter our skin color, no matter our language, we're all one in Christ Jesus. You want to know what the world needs? It needs Christ. That's what it needs. And for us all to be one in Christ Jesus, Paul understood that. And so he wanted to bear fruit for the Lord. Souls would come to the kingdom. They would become Christians. And so his life would be this opportunity to provide eternal life for others. If he lived in the flesh, he would continue to do what he said in verse 20, that he would magnify the Lord in his life, whether by life or by death. And it was a difficult choice in his mind. He said he didn't know what he would choose. The idea being that he's struggling here. It was a hard decision. He wanted to go see the Lord. He wanted to be with him. He wanted to have eternal life. But he knew that he needed to stay and work. In the ultimate end, his outcome would be determined by the Lord. And he was confident in that. He trusted that God knew what was best. And that whatever happened, it would be for the glory of God. He lived with the attitude that we all need to take. And that is found in James 4 and verse 15. Which says, if the Lord wills, we shall do this or that. Let's live by the attitude that says, if the Lord wills. And continue to bear light as long as we can. That brings us to verse 23. And in verse 23 he says, for I'm hard pressed between the two. It's a hard choice for me. I want them both, but I don't know what's most important. Having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Now think about this. Paul gives us another reason for death. The death of his physical body would result in the life spiritually eternally. He understood that departing to be with the Lord is better. he would go to that eternal reward. And the language makes it clear that it's a difficult and intense struggle in his mind. He knows he has work to do, but he also knows he wants to have the reward. And so he's struggling about which would be better. And if it was up to him, it's clear from this language that his choice would be to go and be with the Lord. He would have just as soon had the Roman government take his life at that time. Now, that's not what happened. He would be set free. He would have a couple of more years on this earth. He would write some other letters. He would preach in Spain and establish the church. He would go back and visit some of these other congregations that he's established. But he would ultimately be beheaded by the government. But he says it's better. Now, in fact, I want you to think about this. In the King James and the New King James, he said it says far better. But in the American Standard Version, in the New American Standard Bible, also in the English Standard Version, it says very much better or very far better. And that is an emphasis on how much better it is. Probably grammatically, someone would say, you don't need to say that. That's redundant. It's a guy in Woods called it a double comparative, which means, you're emphasizing it again. You're double expressing that feeling, that emotion. He's intensifying how he really feels. It's not just better. It's not just more better. And I know that's not the right way to say it. It's very much better. He's saying this is by far the best thing to choose. There are a lot of people in this life who love this present world. And their focus is on the here and now. And they don't understand what Paul understands. And that is to go to heaven and be with the Lord is very much better. It's much better to go to our eternal reward. It would be a great pleasure for him to be where he wanted to be. For the Christian, life is a journey. And it's not always easy. And we have to deal with things that we don't want to deal with. But our ultimate destination is not some place here on earth. Our ultimate goal, our dream destination, is not some place around the world. It's not some resort or hotel or some place in the ocean or some place in the tropics or whatever your dream vacation may be. Our ultimate destination, the place that we want to go the most, the place that we're planning for is heaven. We ought to be longing for and looking for that home and have the same attitude of Paul, that is to understand that to go to heaven and be with the Lord is very much better. That's what we're longing for. Paul, dying, knew that he would be with Christ. Death wasn't just a release from pain or suffering or prison or struggles or hardship. It wasn't a way out of problems. It was an opportunity to go to heaven and be with the Lord. That's what he was most thankful for, and that's what he was looking forward to. But notice what happens in verse 24. He says, "Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you." Even though his main focus is to go to heaven and be with the Lord, Paul is going to give us another reason for living. Why does he understand that it's necessary for him to have life? It's for the opportunity to help others spiritually. Now, many of us get up in the morning and we have a plan of what we're going to accomplish today. We have an agenda. We have a goal. We have something that we're going to plan for. I have this to do. I need to accomplish this. I need to go to this place. I need to talk to this person. I wonder how many of us on that list have people we need to pray for, people I need to call and encourage, people I need to visit, people I need to teach the gospel to, people I need to challenge to repent. What is our agenda each and every day? Is it to help others to come to Christ and to live for him? That's what Paul's agenda was. He wasn't wanting out of prison so that he could walk freely. He wasn't wanting out of prison so that he could travel again. He was wanting out of prison so that he could preach the gospel. He could build up the church in its infancy, and he could help the church to grow where it didn't even exist. He wanted to help people reach maturity. He loved them and he cared for them and he wanted them to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And certainly the brethren at Philippi knew how much Paul had helped him. They knew that he had helped him in his infancy there in the church. When he came to Philippi, and Lydia and her household, and the jailer and his household, and those in the church began to grow, he faced persecution. And he went on his way. Do you remember what happened? Philippi began to support him and help him in his work around the world. They knew that he had lived his life helping others. They knew that he was going to continue to preach the gospel. And so Paul says, the best part about life would be I can come and help you again. And he's going to talk about that more later. And I can continue to help the church grow. And so they knew that. They understood that. They knew that he was going to go out and continue to establish the Lord's church everywhere he went. And it was clear to him, and it was clear to them, it ought to be clear to us, that if he was set free, it was for the furtherance of the gospel, not for any personal desires to fulfill his own needs. He wasn't thinking about getting out of prison so that he could go fulfill some earthly desire. That's not what it was about. He was aware that if God would set him free, and it seems that he believes that he will, that he has work to do. He was going to bear fruit. He was going to further the kingdom. He was going to preach the gospel. He was going to help others with the ability that he had. It was to their benefit. It was to the church's benefit. And as I said before, it's even to our benefit here to this day that Paul's life continued. That brings us to verses 25 and 26. Let's notice again, he says, and being confident of this very thing, he knew it. He was confident. He was sure. He knew that he was going to be set free. I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of the faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. It seems the matter is settled in his mind. He knows it. He's confident in it. He believes it. He understands that he is going to be spared. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 28, he tells us how he endured persecution. All the many things that are listed there that he suffered. It was because of his daily concern and care for the churches. That had motivated him even while he was in prison for these 4 years. He understood that there is work to be done and the church needed him and he was going to do his part. He loved these people. He was concerned about it. In fact, in that passage it says that it affected him daily. Daily, that was his thought. What is our thought daily? I talked about our list that we make every morning when we get up, or our plans for the day, or maybe you made your list the day before, or maybe you made it for the week, or maybe you're not making a list. But if you haven't, maybe you ought to think about it. Not only who do we need to pray for, not only what kind of people I can impact with the gospel, but what about our daily thoughts? Are we thinking about our brethren in the church here in Odessa? Are we thinking about our brethren in the church throughout the world? Are we thinking about those who are preaching the gospel, who are facing persecution in other parts of the world? Are we thinking about those who are lost in our community, those who are lost in the state of Texas, those who are lost in the United States of America, those who are lost on all 7 continents? What do we think about throughout the day? Does it even cross our minds? Do we care about other people? It's easy to say, I'm going to let my light shine, if you only let it shine around people you already know, that you already love, that you already appreciate. Are we letting it shine throughout the world? Are we making a difference with those we don't know? Are we bringing others to Christ? Are we bringing glory to God? You see, he was willing to be spent, and he was being spent for the cause of Christ. As I've mentioned many times, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6 tells us that he was being poured out as a drink offering. His life was a living sacrifice. He challenges us to let our lives be a living sacrifice, Romans 12, 1 and 2. They ought to be one that's not conformed to the world, but transformed by renewing of our minds. What is our daily focus? Do we have that deep sense of responsibility like Paul? Are we a servant like Paul who's unselfish? And though he knew it was very much better for him to go to heaven and be with the Lord, he says, it's better for others if I stay here and serve. He was unselfish. He cared about people. And it's apparent that his feeling is that if he's released, he's going to preach the gospel. And we know from history that's what he did. He continued to go see and encourage the brethren. He went to Spain and established the church in those areas. And ultimately, he would be arrested and come back. And he would be executed by the government. Listen, Paul also wrote the book of Philemon. He wrote that letter to Philemon about this same time period. And we have confidence from this letter and also from Philemon that Paul was released and that he understood he would be released. In verse 22 of that book, it says this, "But meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers, I shall be granted to you." What did he say? He said, listen, I'm getting out, and I'm going to come see you, and you need to get ready for me to come see you. Listen, we ought to have that same approach. Now, listen, we're not in prison today, but how many times have we called somebody and said, listen, I'm going to come see you. I'm going to come visit with you. I'm going to encourage you in your faith. I'm going to come preach the gospel. Let's sit down over the kitchen table and study. Well, are we letting people know that we love them and we care and we're going to come visit? We're going to come see them? Listen, this is a challenge we need to address in our own lives. Paul wanted to see the brethren. He wanted to see Philemon. He wanted to see Philippi. He wanted to see those other congregations that had been established. He wanted to see them grow in the faith. And so he says it's for their progress. It's for their progress that he gets out. It's about them. It's about how they can grow. Their joy and faithfulness would increase. They would grow in that grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They would grow in obedience. They would grow in maturity. 2 Peter 3 verse 18, if you want to know that reference. He was confident that as he would preach and teach the gospel, as they would grow in the faith, that it would cause joy. It would cause them to be encouraged. You remember in our studies of the book of 1 John, it was very clear from John that there wasn't joy at the beginning of the letter like there should have been. But when you get to 3 John, you see that the people learn those lessons. And he says, there's no greater joy for me to see that my children, those who he had taught, were walking in the faith, that they were strong. Paul wanted to see that growth. And certainly, they would have had joy for many reasons. If Paul's released from prison, they would have been joyful. There's no doubt about it. They would have been joyful if Paul came and visited them. They would have been excited about it. They certainly would have been excited when he began to preach and teach and spend time together in fellowship with them. And as he began to reach out to others in Philippi who needed to hear the gospel preached, they would have rejoiced in all that. But the greatest joy they would experience is when they themselves would get into the Word, would understand who Christ is, would understand more fully about the church, would understand more fully about life eternal, and would begin to apply these things to their lives so that they were living in a way that's more pleasing in the sight of God. You know who wants to see heaven? Those who are ready for heaven. You know who doesn't want to take their last breath? Those who aren't ready to see the Lord. They don't want to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Listen, if that's us today, we've got to make that change, folks. We've got to be ready. Which means we're going to believe and obey the gospel. If we haven't, we've got to be baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins. If we're a Christian and we're not living like we should, we've got to repent of that and come home. And then as a Christian, we have to grow. We can't stay in one place. We have to mature. And we have to use that maturity to help others. See, Paul understood these things. The brethren would have more joy. They would be more faithful. They would grow stronger in Christ Jesus by his example and by his coming. They would be more loyal. And so they would increase their dependence upon God with their focus on eternal life. Their growth would be evident to all as they began to see the big picture and not just the little things in life. Sometimes when we do start thinking about all that I have to do tomorrow, we forget about the big picture. We start thinking about what's right in front of us, and that's all that we see. You know, we certainly are in a time when the poisonous snakes are out and about. I've seen quite a few snakes this year. In fact, I've seen more snakes this year than I've seen in a long time. And I don't know why that is, but I've seen a lot of rattlesnakes this year. I saw a friend post a picture a couple days ago that they were showing a copperhead that was hidden in the brush and in the leaves, and they didn't see it. If you've never seen a copperhead, they are real easy to overlook. A gentleman was out watering at night and stepped near a tree, and he was bit twice. Bit him on the foot. Listen, if we are not paying attention to our surroundings, that snake can get us too. And I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about spiritually. If we're only focused on the here and now, we're only focused on about what I want to accomplish today in this world, I'm going to miss the big picture. And that snake is Satan. We saw him in Genesis chapter 3. In 1 Peter 5, he's called a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Whether you think he's a snake or a cat that's going to try to kill you, either way, it's right. He is seeking whom he may destroy. And folks, he's winning in a lot of the world today. Right now, he's winning in a lot of places. We have to open our eyes. We have to look and see our surroundings and understand where we are and be aware of the devices of the devil. We need to make sure we're overcoming those things by walking in the light as he is in the light, having fellowship with one another and fellowship with God, and putting the ways of the world far behind us. We ought to grow and mature and focus on the big picture. We want to go to heaven and be with the Lord. This kind of joy should give us confidence no matter what's going on in the world. Listen, there are atrocities in this world. It is an atrocious thing for a man to take another man's life, especially when there's no chance of harm to himself. An atrocious thing to think about. It's an atrocious thing to think about. People destroying someone else's property just because they're angry. It's an atrocious thing to think about that someone uses their words or actions to discriminate against another person. All of those are wrong, folks. All of them are wrong. There's nothing right in that situation. But that's not the only problem in our world today. This world is full of sin, and that's because of that snake or that lion. Folks, our focus has to be on what's right. It has to be on focusing on Christ Jesus our Lord and living for Him and focusing on His will, where we can have joy and life that's more abundant, John 10 and verse 10. We ought to rejoice in that Paul was set free, and that he continued to be an impact around the world in Philippi with Philemon, other congregations, and establishing new congregations in Spain. He continued to do the work. We ought to be thankful for that. And we must follow that example. There's so much more we could say about these verses. But let's be clear. Whatever happened, Paul knew what the result would be. If he were to live, if he was to have life, he would use it as opportunity to preach the gospel. And he knew that if he were to pass from this life, if he were to die, if they were to take his life, regardless of the persecution that he would have faced, regardless of what problems the world had given him, regardless of what the church was facing in his day and still are facing today, he understood that it would mean for him that he would go to a place of comfort. A place of rest, and ultimately eternal life in heaven someday. Paul understood the outcome of either, and he put his trust in God. While earthly death seems something that most people would try to avoid, it's something that we don't want to think about many times, especially an unnecessary, ill-timed, evil type of death. We don't want that. We certainly don't. We don't want to see what happened to Paul happen to anyone else. We don't want to see what happened to Stephen happen to anyone else, or Peter, or any of the other apostles. We don't want to see that. Folks, we don't want to see the pain and agony of others at the hands of those who do not love them or care for them. But Paul understood. This wasn't the end if he died. He understood this is the beginning of eternal life. There's so much more waiting. There's something far much better when this world is over. And that is eternal life with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so he knew that if his life continued, it would mean that he could make a difference in this world. And if his life ended, he could go and be with the Lord. You see, he had the right attitude. His confidence allowed him to continue to labor for the Lord and to serve him faithfully. I've mentioned it several times throughout this series, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, he said, "Imitate me as I also imitate Christ." And folks, that is a great statement when you read these few verses, verse 22 through 26. Paul showed us the right example on how to live. If they kill me, I'm going to heaven, so I'm going to keep on being faithful. If I live, I can bear more fruit for the Lord. So I'm confident that I'm going to live. The attitude is one we ought to have. If we have another day, let's make a difference in this world. Let's let our light shine. Let's preach the gospel. Let's encourage the saved and reach out to the lost. And if this is our last day, if the trumpet of the Lord sounds and it's everyone's last day, we have to be ready for the judgment. We have to be prepared for eternal life. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. We're not promised another day. So what we must do is be ready. What a beautiful attitude Paul had. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. Can we say that to our family and friends? Imitate me as I imitate Christ? Or have we not been following the example of Paul and Christ in the way that we live? Later on, when we get to chapter 2, Paul's going to say, we need to have the mind of Christ. We need to have that attitude. He humbly left the throne of heaven, came to this world, and humbly served mankind by dying on the cross so that we might live. How do you view your life? And I'm not talking about what kind of job you have, what kind of house you live in, how good your health. That's not what I'm talking about. How do you view your life spiritually? Do you think about that heavenly home? Are you living for that heavenly home? Are you focused on the eternal nature of our souls and that there's something beyond today? Are we focused on our lives from a spiritual perspective? What's most important to you? The earthly life or eternal life? Evaluate that. This will help us in our present day. And then ultimately, where do you find joy? Do you find your joy in the physical things? Paul said it would work out for him and it would bring joy. He wasn't talking about freedom. He was talking about continuing to preach the gospel, which led to his death. That brought him joy. What brings us joy? What makes you happy? What is it that gives you fulfillment in life? Oh, I know that the physical things of life have benefit, and I'm not trying to put those things down. Family, job, influence. Those things matter, all right? But if our focus is on the here and now, and our focus is on the earthly pleasures, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the vainglory, or the pride of life, we've missed the boat. We've missed what we're supposed to be focused on. Our focus ought to be on going to heaven and be with the Lord. Can we say today, "For to me to live is Christ," and here's what life means, as Paul did throughout these few verses? And can we say, "For me to die is gain, because I know I get to go to heaven and be with the Lord"?
Thank you so much for listening to Take Aim.